Well, we have, during Advent, spent Christmas with Matthew and Mark, and now we come to Luke. 2 weeks ago, Matthew shared with us, Jesus is our teacher. If you want to know my unique perspective on Jesus, he is our teacher. Last week, we listened to Mark, and Mark said, yes, Jesus is our teacher, as Matthew says, but he is also the opponent of evil. So as we put these two Gospels together, we are getting a much richer, fuller picture of who Jesus is. And now this morning, we come to Luke. Just like Matthew and Mark, Luke has his own unique perspective on the life of Jesus. And after his beautiful description of the birth narratives that we often read during Christmas, and then also the baptism and temptation of Jesus, we come to Luke chapter 4, which is the first major picture of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles or to listen this morning as we read this word in Luke's Gospel, starting in chapter 4, verse 14. The camera is zooming in on Jesus in Luke's Gospel, and we listen to these words to discover what Luke wants us to know about Jesus. So Luke, writing in chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him, and they were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard you have done in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet none of them were cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." And all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. May God bless the reading of this word this morning. This opening scene in the Gospel of Luke describes Jesus returning to his hometown, and he's preaching in the synagogue. It is the very first recorded sermon we have of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Now, he is preaching this first recorded sermon in the town in which he grew up. And this picture of Jesus preaching his first recorded sermon in the town where he grew up is so important. For if we spend time with Luke at Christmas, Luke will tell us, "You want to know who Jesus is to me? Jesus is prophet. He is prophet." In the very first sermon, Jesus takes a passage from Isaiah chapter 61. It describes good news to the poor, freedom from the prisoner, recovery of sight to the blind, and release to the oppressed. And these are strong, powerful words from the lips of the prophet. And then Jesus says, "Today, these words are fulfilled in your hearing." And that was the end of the sermon. That was all he had to say. That was a short sermon, wasn't it? Maybe 5 seconds, 10 at the most. I know what you're thinking. Preacher, you should learn something from him, right? Good sermons are short, 5-10 seconds. Jesus did it. Why can't you? Well, and guess what? Luke says the people loved it. Of course they did, right? It was 10 seconds long. Sure they loved it. A couple of years ago, one of you gave me a little cartoon. It was a preacher standing at the door after the service was over, and a couple was walking out. And one in the couple says, "Preacher, that was one of your best sermons." And the other one says, "Yeah, it was only 14 minutes and 23 seconds, right?" And I kind of laughed when I read it, but I thought, what is this person really trying to say to me, right? But the people loved it. They loved it, but they didn't get it. They didn't really understand what Jesus was trying to say. They talked about him being a good speaker. They said, "Wow, isn't that Joseph's son? He's really a good speaker. The graciousness of his words, isn't he wonderful? Wow, he's going to make a great rabbi." That's what they said about him. But then Jesus knew they weren't really listening. So he goes on and basically says to them, "You don't get it, do you? You didn't really hear what I just said. You see, what I'm saying," Jesus said, "is this passage I read in Isaiah, it's not a dream. It's not some out there, far off in the future reality. No, Jesus said, this is not a dream. He said, it is an assignment. An assignment for today." But they still didn't get it. So Jesus said, "Let me go back to the prophets. See, like all the prophets before me, you will not listen to me because I'm one of your own. I'm a hometown boy. So you hear my words, but you don't really listen to the message of what I'm saying." It's always been that way, he said. You remember in Elijah's time when there was a severe famine, he said, "There were widows all around us, but none of them got the food. It was the widow in Zarephath, the outsider, who got the food." In the time of Elisha the prophet, you see, there were many who had leprosy, but none of them got healed. No, it was the outsider, the Syrian named Naaman. He's the one who was healed. Well, now they hear it. And now they don't like it. Verse 28 says they were filled with rage. Now think about that. Six verses earlier, verse 22, they loved his sermon. Six verses later, just a few minutes later, they are filled with rage. In fact, they want to kill him. They're going to drag him to the edge of the cliff and throw him over because they so dislike his words. You see, when they finally heard what he was saying, then they no longer liked what he was saying. Why? Because Jesus is prophet. Jesus is prophet. You see, it is the power of those prophetic words in the Hebrew scripture that Jesus calls forth into the present day. In Luke's gospel, Jesus is prophet. He is saying to the people what they do not want to hear, but what God needs for them to hear. That's what a prophet does. He reaches back into the tradition of the past, hears the message, and brings it forward and says it in a fresh, powerful, new way. That's what Jesus was doing. Jesus is prophet. So Jesus, as prophet, stands in the synagogue, and he takes one of their sacred texts of the people, and he says to them, "Today, this is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, Jesus is saying, "I'm not making this up. This is in your Bible. I'm speaking it as truth now. It is now time for it to become a reality." In other words, Jesus says, "Don't just say you believe this stuff. Do something. Put your faith into action." Well, as we sit down at Christmas by the fire with Luke, Luke tells us Jesus is prophet. He calls you to act on behalf of your faith and your belief. Don't just say you believe something, but Jesus as prophet says, do something. Live your life in such a way that your actions and your behaviors demonstrate what you say you believe. See, the reality is, maybe we're not too much different from the people who were sitting in the synagogue that day with Jesus' first sermon. We all know how easy it is to avoid those parts of Scripture that shock our old prejudices and opinions that we've grown up with and held on to all of our lives. If we don't like what a particular verse says, then we can just skip it. We can go to the next verse or the next passage. After all, there are 66 books in the Bible, right? We can find something to read that we're comfortable with. And sometimes we fall into the habit of just reading those passages we agree with and we enjoy and skip over the more challenging, demanding parts. But Luke says you can't do that when Jesus is prophet. When Jesus is prophet, you have to listen to all of the word and then apply it to your life. You can't just coast through your Christian life. You can't do that with Jesus as prophet. He's going to shock your prejudices. He's going to call you into action. He's going to change the way you think and the way you live. That's what Luke wants us to know about Jesus. I think it's a powerful word for Christians today. I think this is a powerful word for the church today. We as the church can all too easily lose our vision. We as the church can lose our sense of direction. We can forget what we are called to do and who we are called to be. We can get caught up in prophecy ourselves. But use prophecy to make our lives a little more comfortable. We can say, oh yeah, I know someday it's going to be like that. I know someday all of these things are going to come to pass. I know one day out there in the future, God's going to bring all of this vision together and things are going to be the way God wants them to be. I know someday it's going to be that way, but not now, not today. Or we might say, well, I know at the second coming, when Christ returns, things are going to be different. I know that one day many things will take place. When the Messiah comes, when Jesus returns, someday. Fred Craddock, one of my favorite preachers when he was alive, he was often quoted as saying, you know, sometimes we as Christians like the second coming of Jesus better than the first. In other words, if we only think about the second coming, then we can get caught up in a vision that God's reality is somewhere out there, and it removes responsibility from us and today. But that's not what Jesus as prophet said. When Jesus finished reading the scripture, and told of God's vision, Luke tells us that he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, he sat down and he said, today, these words are fulfilled in your hearing. But the people of the synagogue, they said, oh, you know, Jesus, we like to go back to the good old days. And Jesus says, this is the good old days. They said, Jesus, we want to go back to the Bible. He said, this is in your Bible. In other words, as prophet, listen to what I'm saying and enact it now. Jesus, as prophet, means we can't procrastinate. We can't put off what God wants us to do. It's now. It is today. Jesus as prophet, he met resistance because the people didn't want to take up the vision and the mission that God had for them. And Luke says, what about you? What about you? I tell you the truth, spending Christmas with Luke, it can be kind of dangerous. It can be kind of dangerous because Luke wants us to know that a major part of Jesus' identity and mission is prophet. And if we spend time with Luke at Christmas, when we listen to Jesus as prophet, we come face to face with some very difficult issues. Difficult issues that face the church today. How do we as the church respond to Jesus as prophet? How do we as the church respond when Jesus calls us to an ever-changing vision of active ministry? When faced with a new vision, some churches say, oh, well, we've never done it that way before. That's not how we do things at our church. It would probably be better if we just kind of kept doing things the way we've always done them. But I wonder, what would Jesus as prophet say? or sometimes when the possibilities of new plans or new programs or new ministries develop. Not all, but some churches will say, well, we don't want to upset anybody. Some of our people might not like these new things, and we don't really want to cause problems, so let's not rock the boat. Let's not create any disturbances. But I wonder, what would Jesus as prophet say? When we're challenged individually to live up to a new standard, when we are challenged by God's Holy Spirit to deepen our commitment to Christ, to deepen our relationship with Jesus and to walk in new ways and to serve in new ways, some Christians will respond by saying, well, I know someday that's what God wants me to do. One day I will follow that. One day I'll do what God wants me to do. But I mean, just not now. I'm just not ready yet. Someday, but not now. But what would Jesus as prophet say? When we as the church are occasionally forced to look at the societal ills around us, homelessness, poverty, abuse, neglect, chaos, domestic wreckage, some in the church will say, well, you know, if we really want to grow, what we need to do is to adopt the success syndrome. That's what the successful churches are doing. That's what the growing churches are doing. If we really want to be successful, then what we need to do is make sure there's no sign of failure among us. Success is attractive. So let's attract successful people, and then we'll grow. And it can work if that's what you want to do. But I wonder, what would Jesus as prophet say? In Isaiah 56, just five chapters before the text that Jesus read, listen to what the prophet Isaiah said. He said, "For in the days coming, says the Lord, when the outsider who loves my name and keeps my law shall have a place in my house and shall be remembered forever, and it will be for him better than many children and grandchildren, says the Lord. In my house, the days are coming, says the Lord." But some of us in the church say, well, we know the days are coming. Yes, it will be like that someday. Someday that's going to happen. But right now, I mean, right here, right now, in the present, someday we're going to do all those things Jesus taught. Someday we're going to love people unconditionally without any partiality. Someday we're going to be more gracious and more forgiving. Someday we're going to spend more time in our spiritual life. Someday we're going to pray more. Someday we're going to be more involved in church. Someday we're going to start doing all those things that give life meaning. Someday I'm going to be the person God wants me to be. Someday. But let us remember this morning, the very first sentence, in fact, the very first word of the first sentence, the very first word of Jesus' first recorded sermon, the very first word Jesus ever said as prophet was today. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are grateful that your word gives us comfort. And we are grateful that your word challenges us and convicts us. For Lord, we know sometimes it is easy to get stuck in the ruts of life, to do that which is easy. But God, you call us today to serve you in fresh and new and exciting ways, to listen to your Son and our Savior Jesus as prophet who calls us and leads us forward and wants us to be your people and your church. So God, I pray today as we continue to journey through Advent that we listen and we look at the picture that Luke paints for us, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and help us to hear the words of Jesus as prophet. And Lord, find us faithful to the calling that you've given to us. For this morning, we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.